This is WHUS Stores, Connecticut, 91.7 FM, Radio for the People. Now it's time for jazz. Within the Groove, Jazz and Beyond, my name's Ken. Welcome, listeners. Got a couple hours of great jazz music and a special guest in our show. We're going to start the show off, though, with Jackie McLean.
We'll be right back.
Jackie McLean, the great Jackie McLean, from his album Jackie's Bag, and we heard Appointment in Ghana. Great track and a great album from back in 1959. And that features Jackie McLean on alto sax, Tina Brooks on tenor sax, Blue Mitchell on trumpet, Kenny Drew on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Art Taylor hitting the traps. All right, time now is 5:09. This is In the Groove, Jazz and Beyond. And we've got a special guest today. I want to welcome to the show, Ben Bellillo.
Thanks, Ken. Great to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. Ben's a really fine drummer out of the Hartford area. I think originally from Narragansett,
yep.
Rhode Island.
Narragansett, Rhode Island.
Yeah. And I played Jackie McLean to start off the show because Ben's a guy who knows a lot about Jackie McLean. I'm sure he studied under Jackie McLean at the Hart School of Music. Isn't that right?
Yes. I was there from 1995 to 1999. And Jackie was around quite a bit during those years. And, you know, it was great to have him as a teacher, especially his jazz history course was one of the best courses I ever took in any school. And we got to play with him every now and then, which was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Jackie McLean, a veritable history book of jazz from, I guess, from Charlie Parker days on.
Yep, definitely.
So, you know, I imagine he had lots of stories to tell.
There were a lot of stories, but there was also a lot of history that, was from before jazz. We studied a lot about African musics and African culture.
Huh.
So it was a very comprehensive course over the course of 1 year.
So, let me ask you a little more about Jackie. So besides what you learned from him as a musician, you already told us you learned a lot about the history of jazz through Jackie. What else did he instill upon you as far as, you know, how to conduct yourself as a musician and how to survive in the music business? And did he have anything else to impart to you beyond music?
The first thing that comes to mind was he was always on us about dressing well for gigs.
Yeah.
And I remember ensemble concerts when a student would come not dressed appropriately, he would really get down their throat. It was pretty ugly sometimes, but he was right, you know. And he always said you need to, what was his saying? You got to look like you know how to spend money if you want to make money. So he always stressed look your best for gigs.
That's interesting. I ask that question all the time from Hart people that come up here. That's the first time someone said that. Cool. Well, let's talk a little bit more about you, Ben. And you already mentioned went to school at Hart School of Music. You've had the opportunity to play with some great players. Who are some of the players that you've played with?
Well, I was in a band with Steve Davis, Desron Douglas, Josh Evans, Ray McMorrin, and Craig Hartley. We played a weekly gig at a club called Kenny's for years, which was a great experience. It must have been 2.5 years, I think, that gig, at least that I was on it. And a lot of great musicians came through while we were there to join the house band. We played with Eddie Henderson.
Yeah.
Jim Rotundi came through.
Yeah.
Mike DeRubo, and probably a bunch of people who I've forgotten or I can't think of now. But it was a hot spot for a while.
Yeah.
And it was a good band. And we played a lot of, towards the end, a lot of original music, which was the best part of all.
Yeah, yeah. I see on your webpage you did mention some others as well. Branford Marsalis?
Yeah, we did a clinic for some school kids, which was really fun. It was very fun. It was very high pressure too. He's great to play with.
Yeah,
he's serious, and he's always he's one of the few people that I know, saxophone players or horn players at all, that doesn't always face the audience. He faces in a lot of times because he's looking for you to play something to stimulate him. So he's kind of walks back and forth. You'll see him walking back and forth a lot, looking at the pianist, looking at the bass player, looking at the drummer, waiting for some kind of input. He's a very, very spontaneous musician.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, very opinionated, too. I love hearing what he has to say in interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah, I dig Branford a lot. and recently, we were down in Old Lyme, Connecticut at the Side Door, and we saw you playing a gig with the great Curtis Fuller and George Cables, an amazing pianist. And so that must have been a thrill.
Yeah, that was Javon Jackson's quintet.
Right.
And I was telling someone about it recently. There's two times when I feel like I'm in the hot seat as a drummer. And one is big band drumming. I don't really come from a big band background, though I try to do it. So I always feel like that's kind of a more high-pressure situation than the other is playing with any former jazz messenger. But that was three jazz messengers. Right. So it was like three times the hot seat.
That's true. Right, right. So, yeah, you were in Art Blakey's seat there.
Yeah, that's a tough seat.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't really like being in that seat.
You did a great job. You and Steve Porter, also from Hartford. It was a great night. It was a great show. We really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
All right, so let's hear something. Let's hear an example of your drumming. This one is from Rich Goldstein's quartet. Rich Goldstein, a great guitarist. He's been on the show, actually. We had a great time with Rich a couple years back. Well, let's play it, and then we'll talk some more after this. So this is from Rich Goldstein's album, Coming from Montgomery, and we're going to hear a track called Just For Now. Is there anything you want to talk about the track?
No, it's just an album of Wes Montgomery's music and music inspired by Wes Montgomery that Rich wrote. Well, I wasn't familiar with this one before we recorded it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, let's hear it. Thank you. All right, that's from Rich Goldstein, a great guitarist, another Hartford musician who's been on the show, as I mentioned, and coming from Montgomery is the name of the album. And that track is Just For Now, and that features Rich Goldstein on guitar, Mary Davis on piano, Steve Porter on bass, Ben Bellillo on drums. Ben, let's talk about, you got some gigs coming up. Might as well start right in and plug the gigs coming up.
Okay. I've got one Friday with Mary DePaola, the pianist on the track we just heard.
Yeah.
We're playing at Real Art Ways. It's actually Valentine's Day, and it's the premiere of a movie called The Girls in the Band.
Yeah.
About female jazz musicians, and we're playing we're playing a set, just a 45-minute set. I think we start at 9:15 right after the show is over.
Okay.
So we'll be there. I have a gig under my own leadership on the 21st of February at Japanalia. And it's a trio plus singer. It's myself, Henry Lugo on bass, the great Lawrence Hobgood on piano, and Atla D. Champlain will be singing some. So we're going to do some trio songs and some quartet songs there. And that should be a great show.
Right.
That should be a great
show. Lawrence Hobgood, probably best known for his association with Kurt Elling, correct?
Correct, right. And they've played together for over 20 years, and he's won Grammys, and you name it.
Yeah, yeah. Now, how did you meet up with Lawrence?
It's a long, kind of strange story, so I'll just try to boil it down real quickly. I used to play with a singer from L.A. named Charmaine Clamore. When she would come out east, I would do gigs with her, and we'd play the Iridium once a year, and we'd play, you know, places in New York, Boston, play the Regatta Bar.
Yeah.
And she and her husband are very good friends with Lawrence. And I remember him being at one of the gigs we played at the Triad Theater in New York. And but I didn't meet him. And I got an email one morning from her husband saying, "Hey, I want to introduce you two guys. Ben is an avid fly fisherman and Lawrence is a budding fly fisherman.
Oh.
And you two should meet and talk." So we talked, and he invited me to, he had some friends with a club in the Catskills. And we fished one weekend there. And still had not played music together, you know. That wouldn't come till, you know, a couple of years, 2 years later. So it was a very strange way to meet someone, but and the music relationship followed the fishing. So actually, when we get gigs, we try to do it during fishing season. So we'll fish all day and then go do the gig. But February is not going to work out this year.
I was going to say, I didn't think you did ice fishing.
No.
But that's interesting. So in like your first venture fishing with Lawrence, you must have talked music though, right?
We did a lot, but mainly fishing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, trying to keep it separate.
All right.
There's a little overlap.
Yeah. Let's see. Should we play? You brought over a Lawrence Hobgood track from his album.
Crazy World with Rob Amster on bass and Paul Wertico on drums. It's a song called Revival.
Okay. Did you say it was the second one on the CD?
Right, the second one.
All right, let's just plug that in. All right, so this is Lawrence Hobgood. Thank you. Yeah, it's Lawrence Hobgood from the album Crazy World. Yeah, we heard a track called Revival. And Ben Bellillo was with us today. He's going to be playing with Lawrence Hobgood at
Giovanilio,
which is a very nice venue.
Right.
It's really a clothing store, huh?
Yeah, it's
and kind of in the back, he's got the stage set up with it's a pretty cool venue.
It is. It's small. It's intimate. It's got a nice piano, which is always a plus.
Yeah.
So it's a great place to play.
Yeah. What's the date on that again?
February 21st.
Is that a Friday?
It's a Friday.
Friday. Okay. Make sure you check that out. Giovanilio in West Hartford.
Hartford.
It is Hartford. It's close to the West Hartford line, though. Yeah. Off of Farmington Avenue.
Right. I think it's Whitney Street.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So... Well, Ben Bellillo, you're a teacher. You teach, you do a lot of private lessons. I think you've taught it. Have you taught at Hart?
No, I taught at the Greater Hartford Academy of the Arts for about, I think, 8 years. And my wife and I just had a son a year ago. His first birthday was just last weekend. And I had to really scale back on teaching to raise the boy, which is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool that you have the chance to do that.
Yeah.
All right. So... besides being a teacher of jazz, you're a student of music, I'd say. We all are and always will be a student of the music. There's so much to learn. And you've got a really great foundation of jazz history from Jackie McLean. So I'm going to put you through a I'm going to put you through a blindfold test.
Okay. Go easy on me.
We're going to do the blindfold test. Like they do in Downbeat Magazine. But I'm not going to do this to stump you. These are really...
Okay.
I'm not going to like try to trick you or anything.
Right,
it's
right,
more...
Right.
I'm doing this more to talk about some of these great drummers that have shaped jazz music through the history. So let's start out with this one.
Thank you.
All right, Ben. So, who do you think that is?
That's a...
do you know what the tune is? Do you know what the...
Pent Up House.
Yeah,
Pent Up House. Sonny Rollins composition.
Right, right.
With Clifford Brown, Max Roach on drums.
Right, right. And let's see, we've also got Richie Powell on piano and George Morrow on bass. Right. But yeah, that's right. You know what album that's from?
I can't remember the name of the album.
Okay. Sonny Rollins plus four. I played that because of wanted to talk about Max Roach. What do you think of Max Roach's playing and where he fits into the history of jazz music and... And what kind of influences?
He was one of my early favorites. And I remember the first time I heard him was on a cassette that a friend of mine gave me that was a Verve compilation called Jazz Club Drums. And it was, I think they had done it for every major instrument, you know, and it was just a sample of everyone who played that instrument. And I remember there were a couple tracks which really stood out to me back then. And one of them was Jordu, Clifford Brown, Max Roach. And that was a big one. And I remember the thing that I liked most about Max Roach was the soloing. And I'm not even really a big drum solo listener so much. I'm much more interested in the accompaniment than the soloing, as I think a lot of us are. But Max's solos were very, very logical solos, and they really kind of spoke to me. So I think those might have been, Max Roach solos might have been the first solos I ever learned on drums.
I've heard him credited as really inventing, you know, bebop drumming. He was there in the very beginning with Charlie Parker.
He was there, but Kenny Clarke is, he's when I have students, that's who they start with, is Kenny Clarke. Yeah. And then they go to Max Roach.
Yeah, okay. All right. Let's move on to another one. This one might be a little more difficult. You know, you'll know the tune. I think you might be stumped by who's playing.
Okay.
Ben, look pretty stumped on that one.
Well, I know it's Star Eyes, and I know it's Philly Joe Jones on drums.
Yeah, right.
But I don't know the alto player.
Right, right. Well, it's Art Pepper, one of my favorite alto players.
I knew it, but I couldn't remember. For some reason, the name was escaping. Yeah. But it's not because I knew the sound, because I admittedly have never checked out very much Art Pepper. It was kind of a process of elimination, deductive reasoning thing.
But, okay, right, right, right. All right, so do you know what the album is? Because I think it's a pretty well-known album.
No, like I said, I've never really checked out that much Art Pepper.
Okay, it's an album called Art Pepper Meets Rhythm Section.
Right, right, right.
And it's Art Pepper with Miles Davis's rhythm section at the time. I think it's Red Garland on piano, Philly Joe Jones on Trace, Paul Chambers on bass, and Philly Joe on drums.
Right.
Yeah, and an interesting story on that. Art Pepper, heavy duty drug addict, spent most of his career in and out of jail. And he supposedly, as the story goes, he hadn't played for like 6 months, had just gotten out of jail, spent a long run in Sing Sing or something, really harsh time in jail, had just come out, and his wife, or maybe girlfriend or wife, had set this rhythm section up. And like, he stumbled out of bed at 11 o'clock and she said, "Hey, I got a surprise for you. I got this." And his horn wasn't working. Supposedly he had to like put like a Band-Aid around between the mouthpiece and the horn to get it to fit. And then record this like incredible session after having played for years. So
he was in good hands.
Yeah. With that rhythm section. Right. Yeah, absolutely. So Philly Joe Jones, like, what do you think of his drumming style and what he's meant to you as a drummer?
I heard Max Roach before I heard Philly Joe Jones. But when I heard Philly Joe Jones, for some reason, it spoke to me a little bit more than even Max Roach did. And mainly it was the ride cymbal beat and the accompaniment that he would play on snare drum, bass drum, the whole set. Just the feel of his groove was I was really into it. And his brush playing is amazing.
Huh, yeah.
And I remember the first CD I ever bought, not the first album. First album I ever bought was Run DMC Raising Hell. But the first CD I ever bought was Miles Davis Milestones, which it's like a Bible for rhythm section players.
Yeah.
Really terrific album with Red Garland, Paul Chambers, Philly Joe Jones.
Yeah. Cool. All right, let's move on. This is fun. This one is completely different. I'm not going to say a word, but just buckle your seatbelts. So what do you think, Ben?
Big Nick, Tony Williams Lifetime with John McLaughlin and Larry Young on organ.
Right. And I actually think there's a bass player on that, too.
Oh, is there?
and it's Jack Bruce.
Oh, that's right.
I think he's on that track. He was on the third Tony Williams Lifetime album. I think that's what that's from. All right, cool. So what do you think of that?
I love that track.
Yeah.
I have a friend, we were talking about high school age musicians once, and we were saying that when you're in high school, you really have no fear and you just kind of play. You don't know what's right or wrong. There are no rules, and those guys just go for it. And then you're a little more inhibited the older you get, and then hopefully you lose that inhibition.
Yeah, yeah.
Ultimately. But those guys, there's no inhibition at all. They're just going for it, you know, at all times.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, actually, I never thought of it in those terms, but yeah, you're right. And it made me think about music today, which seems to be so formulated. I'm not talking jazz music.
Right.
I'm talking popular music or electronic music or whatever. But yeah, those guys really, really went for it. It went all out. It sounded like it was recorded in a garage or something.
I like that too.
I think that I expect that was the effect they were trying to get.
Well, I always say if you're recording with a piano trio, you've got three instruments and the room is the fourth instrument because the room is going to give a sound to the recording.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, its own distinct sound. Yeah. And I'm not a huge fan of recordings done in studios where the sound is very clean and sterile. I kind of like Branford Marsalis has an album called Requiem. They recorded in Tarrytown Music Hall, and you hear the sound of Tarrytown Music Hall in the recording.
Yeah. All right. Now, Tony Williams, tell me what you think of Tony Williams.
He's incredible. I mean, he's one of the greatest drummers who ever lived. And all three of those guys have a very distinct sound on their instrument to me. It's not your average jazz recording, obviously.
Right.
You know, those guys are very influenced by rock music. But yeah, Tony Williams is one of the all-time greats.
And I think he changed jazz drumming and maybe even the sound of jazz music from that point on.
He was totally fearless. And he had a very unique way of orchestrating parts on the drum set. We were talking about Kenny Clarke. We mentioned Kenny Clarke earlier was kind of a guy who liberated the drums. And he's kind of known for really bringing the ride cymbal beat to the forefront and then freeing up the snare drum and the bass drum to accompany, not just keep time. But Tony Williams had shifted the time to his hi-hat, so you hear that hi-hat on all four beats.
Yeah.
And that kind of freed up the limbs to come off the cymbal a lot more. So you hear a lot of drums.
Yeah.
You know, you hear less cymbal and more drums than what you'd heard before.
All right. I got another one queued up. This one, I want you to listen. Of course you will. I was going to say I want you to listen particularly to the drums. I think it's a very distinctive sound. But hopefully it'll lead you to who the player is. So let's take a listen.
Thank you.
All right. So, who do you think that was?
That's Joe Lovano on tenor saxophone.
That's right.
Paul Motion on drums.
Right,
I don't know who else is.
I think it's George Emraz on bass. It's from an album they did called Joyous Encounter. I didn't say who the piano player was, did I?
No.
Hank Jones on piano. And the album is basically Joe Lovano and Hank Jones, featuring those two. And the drummer we mentioned, Paul Motion. So tell me what you think about Paul Motion, because he's a very unique drummer with a very unique style.
Yeah, he's not one that I've listened to a lot of, honestly. And it's not because I don't like it. I just haven't gotten to it yet, yeah. I'd say. But it is very, it's a very free approach while still having time there.
Right.
A very colorful
right.
approach to playing drums.
Yeah, I would say that his music is based more on color than rhythm,
right.
perhaps. Yeah, yeah. Very interesting drummer. Passed away recently, did he not?
I think a couple of years ago.
Yeah. All right. Now I got one more for
all
you.
All right.
And this one, I don't think you'll get. He's a contemporary modern drummer. Although I've got him playing somewhat of a straight ahead track, and
okay.
I couldn't find exactly the sound I wanted because he's very unique. I think has the same way Paul Motion kind of has his own sense of time. I think this guy does too.
Okay.
So let's
throw the gauntlet down on me now.
Let's take a listen to this. Keep playing in the background.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't even know this drummer. I don't know, but you made some good guesses during it. You mentioned.
Yeah, Eric, you got me on this.
Yeah, you mentioned Eric Harland. You mentioned Bad Plus. You ever hear of Chris Daddy Dave?
Yes, yes.
Have you ever seen him or?
I don't think I've ever seen him live.
Yeah. So this is Robert Glasper.
Okay.
With Derek Hodge and Chris Daddy Dave on drums. I saw him with the Robert Glasper Experiment, and he just like blew me away. It's like, I don't know if you noticed, I don't know if it was the right track to play, but he has his own sense of time. He'll like slow things down and speed things up while the rest of the band is keeping the same rhythm. And at first, like, it doesn't make any sense, but it forces you to listen to it and make sense of it. Right. And it does.
It's another one that's interesting color-wise. He's playing what sounds like two sticks on the hi-hat, one on top and one on bottom.
Exactly.
Which I believe is a Steve Gadd trick.
Is that right?
I think so. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure Gadd is the guy who gets credit for that.
Yeah, that's right. That's what he does. It was the first time I'd ever seen that technique, and it blew me away. But I really like the guy. Have you listened to Robert Glasper? Are you a fan of him? He's very controversial in the jazz community.
Honestly, not all that much. I mean, I've heard some of the early albums. I heard a few things with Robert Hirst that he did, but I haven't really listened to that much of the newer stuff. But it's interesting. I'm glad I get a chance to hear it now.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. So that's it for your blindfold test. You did good, man.
Well, thank you.
You did good. All right. By the way, time now is 6 o'clock. This is WHUS, Storrs, Connecticut, 91.7 FM. Radio for the people. And we have a special guest in the studio here. If you just tuned in, you're listening to, besides myself, Ben Bellillo, a great drummer in the Hartford area. And all right, so let's get back to more music. You brought another couple tracks around.
Yeah, I have a track that is...
You mentioned Harry Connick.
Yes, the first song that got me interested in jazz music. I was probably 15 years old. Prior to this, I was listening to lots of Led Zeppelin, which I still do. I can't get enough of this stuff, really. Yeah. But my sister was, she's 9 years older than me, and she was infatuated with Harry Connick Jr., as many, you know, young ladies her age were in the late 80s. Yeah. And she left When Harry Met Sally, the album, at the house. And I don't know, I just saw it sitting on the table. I put it in the cassette deck and checked it out, and they played Stompin' at the Savoy. Harry Connick Jr., Jeff Watts on drums, and Ben Wolfe on bass, and I was completely floored from that point on. Huh. And the next thing I did was find out, who is this drummer? Jeff Watts. Well, he played with Branford Marsalis, Wynton Marsalis. Right. Great. Buy a Wynton Marsalis album. Next thing I did, read the liner notes in which they mentioned Charlie Parker, John Coltrane, Thelonious Monk.
Right.
Went out, bought Monk, Coltrane, Charlie Parker albums, and that kind of...
Changed your life.
Changed my life, right. But this is the original track. This is the first one.
Which track is it on the CD? I'm sorry.
I think it's the third track.
Okay. Thank you.
are setting for nights beyond forgetting, and through these moments apart, love came deep in my heart. When I recall the love I found on, I could kiss the ground on Green Dolphin Street. Ah, 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 ah.
That was wonderful. That is Atlas Champlain.
Yeah.
Atlas de Champlain.
Atlas and Matt de Champlain. That's from a record that is not out yet. She just sent that track over to me the other day. It's probably in its last phases of production now. You know, just there's some tracks that need to be mixed. It should be out later this year, I hope. Atlas singing, Matt de Champlain, her husband, on piano, Doug Mayer on guitar, Adam Cody on bass.
Matt de Champlain, really one of the most talented piano players, I think, to come out of the Hart School of Music.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
He's great. He's been on the show. He's got a solo album out. And hopefully Atla will come up when her album's released.
Yeah, yeah.
So once again, before we say goodbye to you, let's plug those gigs that are coming up.
Okay. We've got on February 14th at Real Art Ways, Girls in the Band, the movie, and Mary DiPaola Trio at 9:15 following the movie. One other one I didn't mention was the Sunday after that, the 16th, with Jim Margero's Quintet. It's a George Shearing-style band featuring Warren Chi-Sun on vibraphone, who was a member of Shearing's Quintet.
Wow.
So we'll be doing that at the Keeney Center in Wethersfield. That's an afternoon show. I believe it starts at 4. And February 21st at Japanalia, Atla D. Champlain, Lawrence Hobgood, Henry Lugo, and myself will be playing. 7:30 start, and reservations are strongly recommended.
All right, yes. Okay, so definitely go out, check out those gigs. They're probably going to be listed, hopefully, at the Hartford Jazz Society.
They should be, and they're on my website, benbilillo.com, so you'll find them there.
Okay, definitely check out benbilillo.com. Why don't you spell it?
Ben, BenBillo.com.
Okay. Yeah, definitely check that out and support local live music here in the Hartford area. It's so important to do that. These great musicians spend their life refining their craft, and it's great to get out and see live music instead of sitting in front of your television.
Definitely.
All right, we're going to end the segment of the show with Ahmad Jamal. I know you're a huge Ahmad Jamal fan. Can you tell us a little about what we're going to listen to?
Favorite musician of all time, Ahmad Jamal, regardless of instrument, even more than the drummers.
Yeah.
My ultimate favorite. This is This Can't Be Love. It's hard to find these tracks now because they got all split up over the years onto different compilations. But this there's a mosaic box set with all the trio's work, which is probably the best bet to just get that. Huh. And this is my favorite music. It's got everything I like in jazz music.
Do you know the personnel on this track?
Israel Crosby on bass and Vernell Fournier on drums.
Okay. One of Ahmad Jamal's great trios.
Yeah.
All right. So let's hear this. It's This Can't Be Love. And thanks for coming up to the show, Ben. It's been fun having you here and doing the blindfold test and everything else.
Great. Thanks for having me, Ken.
All right, Ben. I'd like to take a moment to ask of you a small favor. It takes a great deal of time, effort, and money to bring this podcast to you each and every week, as I have done for over 6 years. Hopefully, this show brings you a deep appreciation of this great American art form. Now, I am asking you to show your support to give back some of the value that you may take away from this program. Please consider donating to this podcast. Perhaps it is worth the cost of a single CD. Certainly you get at least that much music from just one listening of the show. Maybe you would consider donating even more than that if this program gives you hours of listening pleasure week after week. Whatever you decide, please visit my website at www.jazzandbeyond.com. There is a button on the right sidebar where you can make a donation of whatever you feel is appropriate. That's www.jazzandbeyond.com. Thank you for listening.